Life. Welcome. We are so excited you are worshiping with us this weekend. My name is Jared. I want to welcome you online. If you are worshiping with us through Facebook or YouTube, we would love for you to leave a comment. Last week, we asked you, what was your favorite snack? This week, we would love to know what's been that worship song that has been getting you through this time. At this point, grab a cup of coffee, get yourself comfortable, and we're going to all worship together.
Sing to hold tightly to the truth that we know of God. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the day-to-day, in our circumstances, in our anxieties, in our doubts and our fears. But I truly believe that when we declare who God is over every circumstance, that we begin to experience surrender in a new way. It's in those moments when we declare who God is that we can begin the process of healing, that we can begin to experience His goodness in new and powerful ways. So as we sing, just surrender over those things to the Lord and exchange them for this declaration of who God is.
Prince of Peace, perfect healer, all my life, all my cares on You, King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life, all my cares on you, Prince of Peace. Perfect healer, all my life, all my cares on you, King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life, all my cares on you.
Today we're going to learn a new song together, and it's one of my favorites because I feel like it's just such a beautiful anthem of surrender and adoration. So as we sing these words, I want you to remind your spirit of the truth we just sang, that God is the Prince of Peace, that He's the perfect healer, the King of Kings, and a mighty Savior. Because again, when we remember who God is and the promises that belong to us as God's people, surrender is a natural and powerful part of this exchange. We see this laid out for us in Paul's letter in Colossians 1. He says, "We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Let's sing this together. I know you're with me. moment, teach me to love you, to love you with all that I have, to give to you all that I am. Oh, how I love you. Bow down before you now. God, I adore you. I worship before you, lay my life down, and oh, how I love you. I bow down before you now. God, I adore you. Worship before you, lay my life down. I'll live my offering of worship to lay my life down. I live my life for one thing, poured out as an offering. An offering of worship I give to you now. I live my life for one thing, poured out as an offering. An offering of worship to lay my life down. I live my life for one thing, poured out as an offering of worship I give to you now. Know how I love you. Bow down before you now. God, I adore you. I worship before you, lay my life down, and oh, how I love you. I bow down before you now. God, I adore you. I worship before you, lay my life down. I live my
know your love does not run dry.
so I'll wait for you. So I'll wait for you. I'm praying on my knees. I'm praying on the knees. Jesus, your all this heart is living for. Broken, I run to you, for your arms open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So
Lord, we're here today, absolutely in awe of who you are, God, and all of your promises for us. Lord, we believe that you have promised us your kingdom, that you have given us an inheritance of hope and of power and of restoration. And so, Lord, we can't help but fall on our knees in absolute and total surrender because you're worthy and you're good. Be with us this day and remind us over and over and over again who you are, God. We love you and we praise you with all that we have. Amen.
a great time of worship. At this point of the service, we would love to continue in worship. And we have four ways that you can give. You can give on our app, you can go to our website, you can text the New Life number, or you can drop off a check at our church office. In these special times, we love how generous you guys have been as a church, and we are so thankful that we have this time where we can be obedient to God and continue to trust, even when sometimes it doesn't make sense. We have a few other ways that we would love for you to connect with us here at New Life. Even as though we can't gather, we still are gathering. We are gathering online. We actually have a couple Bible studies that meet online. I have a Tuesday night Bible study that you can sign up for. That's all on Zoom online on Tuesday nights. We also have a coffee with the pastor. That's on Friday nights that you can get a chance to Zoom in with Pastor David. Also, another thing that's coming up is this Sunday, so April 26th at 6 p.m., our men's gathering is happening on Zoom. We would love for you to join us as we connect in with the men of New Life, and we don't get a chance to throw axes like we've done the last time because that would be dangerous, but we do get a chance to connect and kind of hear what God is doing in our lives and a chance to just really see each other's faces. Also, one other thing coming up this next Friday is First Friday, and so join us online. You can like the James Way Band's Facebook page and get notifications, and you can view it online this Friday, May 1st, and be able to see First Friday. Now, let's take a second and prepare our hearts as we jump into God's Word and hear from Pastor Gina.
Hello, New Life. It is so great to gather with you today. I'm excited to be here with you. If you don't know me, my name is Gina Nicola, and I'm a pastor here at New Life, and I'm excited to gather with you. I know we're gathering in different ways, where you're gathered in our homes, we're gathered around screens, but think about it. We are choosing right here, right now, to pause what we're doing, to get up, and to get around a screen and to join with other brothers and sisters here on the Central Coast and actually near and far. I know people are tuning in from everywhere. And to say, God, we worship you. To lift our voices, to raise our hands, to take this time to acknowledge that we need him and that we give him praise and we give him glory. And I just think it's an incredible thought, an incredible time when we choose to come to him and tell him how much we love him and how much we appreciate him. Not only that, I think about the reminder that we need, the reminder that we are loved. Our Father loves us. He hasn't forgotten about us. And in these times, we know that we need his Spirit to continue to grow us and to shape us so we become the disciples and the people that he has created us to be. So I'm really excited to be with you, and I'm excited to continue a series that we just started, and that is Unscripted. Pastor David started the series last week. If you were unable to join us last week, you can find the series on our YouTube channel where it's at New Life Pismo, and you can check it out, and I challenge you to do so because he brought us a lot of information. He reminded us to think about some very important things about leading an unscripted life. I mean, what he was saying is we spend a lot of time working on getting our lives in order. A lot of us do the same thing every single day. We have the same rituals, the same routines. We get our kids going. We get them out the door. We go to work. We come home. We have this life that we pattern, and we do it on purpose. It keeps us safe. It keeps us in a direction that we reach short and long-term goals, that we fulfill our dreams. And we do our best to script this life and keep it safe and padded and secure. And then things happen. We find ourselves making choices at times, and it causes us to veer off track. But then there's things that are not about our choices, but just life in general. And that life throws strange things at us, and the next thing we know, our scripted life is now unscripted. And so what we're going to look at today is, how do we navigate this unscripted life? How are we supposed to respond when bad things happen? What is our response supposed to be when we feel like everything is confusing? I know many people I've talked to, they're feeling hopeless. They're not really sure what is in their control. And when we feel like we can't control something, then we feel out of control. So how are we supposed to respond to this unscripted life? Well, what I want to do is I want to open up the book of Philippians. Philippians is in the New Testament. It is in the second half of the Bible, and it's written by the Apostle Paul. And what I love about the Apostle Paul, and I know Pastor David brought him up last week also, is that Paul was a great, great apostle. He was a great person who sent out the good news. His whole mission was to make sure that everybody knew that there was nothing greater than the gift that Jesus gave us, and that is through salvation through him. And Paul writes to the Philippians, and we're going to start in chapter 3, and we're going to jump through chapter 3. We'll end up in chapter 4. But the reason why I want to look at Philippians is because Paul is in a circumstance where he is in prison. He's writing Philippi while he's in jail. He's chained. He's been isolated from everyone else. And the life that he thought he was going to walk down, his plans were to continue going and spreading the good news, become totally interrupted, and he's now living an unscripted life, but he has an amazing response and message to tell all of us, not just the people of Philippi, but to even for us now, because we know what it's like to live an unscripted life right here, right now. Many of us are living in our homes. Very few of us are leaving on a regular basis. We're told that we should shelter at home to keep ourselves safe. And we're not really sure what it looks like for all of that to change. I know many people are feeling isolated. Some people are feeling sad. Some people are just waiting and hoping. And so what I want to do is look at Paul's response, because it's an incredible response. And he starts off chapter 3, verse 1. And it reads like this: "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith." He says, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what it is, and remember, he's in prison, he's chained. He's saying, no matter what, rejoice in the Lord. Give praise, just like we do when we started off. We give praise, we raise our hands, we declare who is king, who is mighty, who is powerful. We rejoice in the salvation and the gift of Jesus Christ. And see, I think he's not only writing them to remind them, I think he writes them and he's reminding himself at the same time. Because it's not always easy. We're not always going to have a perfect response. But the more we rejoice, the more we choose to focus our eyes and hearts on God, the more that safeguards our faith. See, faith is important. Maybe you're asking yourself, what is faith? Faith is that trust, that experience that we continue to have with God that builds this trust in who he is, in the promises of who he is. When we worship, when we pray, when we sit in silence, when we talk with him, when we're honest with him, we are building our faith because it's another experience. It's more time with our Father, and it deepens our faith in him. And Paul's saying we need that. We need to safeguard that because life happens. Now, I want to make sure you understand, though, that even though he's saying, I need you to rejoice no matter what, he's not telling you to pretend. He's not saying, hey, let's just pretend nothing bad's happening. Paul's not pretending. He's in jail. He's in prison, and he's pretty sure he's not going to get out. Paul really does probably think that he will die in prison and never leave here. So it's not like he's saying that in the midst of our pandemic, we should just pretend it's not happening. To just rejoice and pretend that life is good, he's saying no. In the midst of all that's going on, we're not going to have perfect responses. We're not always going to be right off the bat, say the right thing. But when we catch ourselves, we should rejoice and grow our faith. I think many of us can relate to the fact that we don't always have the best responses to things. When stress hits, we all have a certain way of reacting. When we perceive a dangerous situation hitting, we react a certain way. And Paul probably reacted a certain way to things that happened to him, because none of us are perfect. But think about it. When you first heard that the virus could spread, and the coronavirus was out there, and you started hearing that we might have to take some serious measures to keep ourselves safe, I'm sure you fell in one of three categories. We all do. There are people, when they see danger, when they sense it, they smell it, they have a tendency to either fight, flee, or freeze. And you could have fallen in any three of those. Neither are right or wrong. They are how we are wired. And we have these responses because our life experiences have started to form and create a way in which we try to keep ourselves safe. I know some people said they fought it. They were like, no, you're not telling me what to do. I'm going to get more information. I'm going to find out more, but I'm going to fight it. They were fighters. They're going to protect themselves with whatever they needed to do to make themselves feel safe and secure. There are those who were fleeing instantly. I have friends who have anxiety. There is nothing wrong with that. They are amazing people, but they struggle with anxiety. Then I have friends who have like this extra layer. We call it germaphobe. Those people, the germaphobes, you know who you are. You are the people that when, if you've ever been at New Life Church, here's a good way. If you've ever been at New Life Church at a service, we invite you to our patio. We have coffee, we have food, we gather together. It is an awesome time. But I can tell you right now, my germaphobe friends, they, when you get out there and you hang out with them, they can tell you how many children have hovered over the food. How many young people have touched that cookie and no one ate it, but they left it there, don't eat it. They can also tell you about how many people have been over the buffet, the cheese, how long it's been there, everything. They can also tell you that three people sneezed in that corner over there. You're not going to find them over there. They're over here in this corner because they sneezed in that corner. Those are the friends. Those are the people who fled. They are my friends who told me as soon as they sensed danger, they grabbed their loved ones. They don't even know if they had enough stuff. They just hunkered down and they held their families tight and they sat there. They fled. And then there's those of us who just froze. I can't say that it was necessarily freezing in fear, but they froze in a way in which they weren't sure what to do. So they collected more information. They stayed kind of stuck until they could get more information, observe what other people were doing, and then they decided to do something that they felt would keep their families safe. We all have these responses. Paul had his responses. He was an incredible man, but he had a life before knowing Christ. He was human. And he knew that he didn't always react right either. I'm sure he had his angry, frustrated moments. I'm sure he said to God at times, I think he chose the wrong person, because even other brothers and sisters aren't sure if they can really trust me because of his past, because of the stories that they had heard. But he was striving to be the man that God called him to be. He wants us to strive to be the people that God has called us to be. And he talks about this as you continue down into chapter 3. And in verse 13 and 14, he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it." And he's talking about perfection. "But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." See, he knows he hasn't always figured it out. He knows he hasn't always had the best responses, but he doesn't let that get him down. He doesn't dwell on the past. And I want to make sure we all spend some time thinking about how much are we dwelling on the past. The woulda, shoulda, couldas. If I only would have done this, then this would be better. If we could have done that. The problem with spending time back there is it's a spiral. We look for people to blame. It makes us bitter and angry, and we get depressed. No, Paul is reminding us, and God is calling us to be people who are looking forward. No matter what our response was then, it doesn't matter. Because right here, right now, we can make a choice to say that I will rejoice in the Lord, and that I will give him my life, and I will spend time with him. Because the only thing that we can control right here, right now, is right here, right now. It's our ability to just give our lives to him. Now, some of you might be thinking to yourself, how do I change my responses? Our situation's the same. I'm still in my home. I'm still alone. I still miss my friends and my family. It just seems like I don't know what's going to change. Well, have you ever thought about maybe viewing this time, this situation differently? viewing it in a way that we see it more as an opportunity instead of a place where we have to just survive it, where we feel like we're in danger, but that we see this more as an opportunity. Because see, the longer we look at this as a dangerous situation that we must survive, then the more we use our emotions and our energy and we feel drained and sad and it's hard to keep going. But if we were to look at this situation as an opportunity, we will respond in a way in which we're like, what do we do with it? Maybe we're supposed to take this opportunity, and this is a time where we grow our faith in God, where we grow as the sons and daughters of the Most High God and be the people that He created us to be. Maybe this is the opportunity that we take not only to deepen our faith, but maybe to reignite our hope. I know some people are struggling to find the hope, to find light at the end of the tunnel. But see, we need faith and hope. In a book that I read a long time ago, but I pulled it out as soon as I knew that I was going to be bringing this message, a book written by Brennan Manning. The book is Ruthless Trust. And it talks about and tackles some difficult issues about what life throws at us. And he has this really small, simple formula that he uses. And it is faith plus hope equals trust. We have to have both in order to have trust and to be firmly rooted, standing on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ, where we place our whole trust in Him. Not in the things that we can do, not in people, not in circumstances, but in Him. So we have to grow our faith, yes, but we also have to have hope. I want to remind you that when you read through the Bible, when you read the promises of God, there is not a promise in the Bible that He did not fulfill. Our hope is placed in the promise that Jesus will come back, that He will come, and we have hope in that the fact that God is greater than anything and everything we are going through. So maybe this is the opportunity to grow ourselves, to be more of the people that He wants us to be, so we can respond differently when all of this changes and we start coming out of our walls and we start being part and doing life with one another again. You might ask yourself, like, okay, that sounds great, but how do I grow those things? How do I deepen it? How do I have hope? Well, one thing to challenge yourself would be, what are you filling up with? What are you filling your mind and your heart with during this time as you're sheltering at home? See, I think it's awesome that we can gather around a screen and we can worship together and we can dive into the Word of God. But I also know these screens, if we stare at them too long, are full of news of a virus, of financial disaster, of people losing jobs, of all the weighty, negative, thick things that start to weigh us down. So maybe this opportunity is a time to not only grow, but to ask ourselves, what have we filled ourselves up with? Do we need to, like Pastor David said last week, do we need to pivot and turn our eyes and hearts to the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are as sons and daughters? Is this a time where we fill up with His Word? Maybe it's reading Scripture. Maybe it's turning up worship music as loud as possible and just raising your hands. Maybe it's something that you don't normally do, but you're in your walls. It's you. Maybe it's just you alone or you and your family, and you don't have a great voice. Who cares? Just sing out. Raise your hands, surrendering ourselves to Him. Maybe it's a time that when we catch ourselves worrying, focused on the what ifs, that we stop and we say, you know what, God, I rejoice in You. I give You praise and glory, and I thank You for this moment, another day, for whatever You can touch and be around that You can be grateful for. Maybe when we catch ourselves worrying about the past, we bring ourselves right here, right now, and say, God, You are my Father. You are greater than all things happening, my mind, my thoughts, a pandemic, anything. And we give it all to Him. Because what we fill up with is what we're going to pour out to others when we do step outside our walls, when we do start living life, as we start to move where God moves. Because, brothers and sisters, He is going to make all things new. He is going to put this life back together. And we want to be on the move, and we want to move where God is moving. And we want to pour out to others what it is that is true about us and our identity in Him. See, if we fill up with anxious thoughts, then when people ask us how we got through it or how we did it, then we're going to give them anxious answers. But if we give them thoughts of hope, where we rejoiced and we spent time with Him, we'll be able to pour out to others life, hope, and breath. See, Paul in prison, he didn't have anything. But he did have a life at one time where he had everything. He's well educated. He was well respected. He had whatever he wanted. Many of us can say that we had and could do what we wanted. We didn't feel trapped in our homes. We could go where we want. No one cared what we did. And some of us might feel like we don't have much now. Some of us might feel like we have everything right now because we have our families. We're more connected than we ever thought we would ever be. That's great. But we still want to be able to proclaim Christ as we walk out of our walls and as all this ends. And Paul talks about this in chapter 4. As we jump to chapter 4 of Philippians in verse 11, he addresses how his response is shaped and how he's able to respond this way. Because he says, not that I was ever in need. Because he was talking about how the Philippians, they've cared for him, and they've given him money, they've supported him, they've prayed for him, they've opened their doors for him, they've been there for him. But even with all that, he says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Everything. And I know many of us have heard verse 13, that we can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But see, in context, you realize Paul's trying to encourage us and say, not only can you rejoice and shore up your faith and go deeper with Him and have hope, but you can also say that no matter what this world throws at you or takes away from you, no one can take away the gift of salvation to be the sons and daughters of the Most High God. No one can take that. And it's only through being rooted and trusted in Christ that we can live through His power, that we can get through this weirdness, through this time. And it's in His strength that we walk out and do life. See, I want us to remember, today is not as good as it gets. God, just because we are stuck in our homes or feeling trapped or whatever word you want to put in there, does not mean that God has stopped. He is not trapped. He's not stuck. He's not up there scratching his head saying, I wish this pandemic would pass on so I can move around. No, God is on the move. His will be done. And our job is to fill up, to take this opportunity so our response when we walk out is one of rejoicing, of giving praise and glory to Him, to encourage others that the only way we make it, sometimes the only way we make it, is by talking and spending time with Him and asking His Spirit to come in and to shape us and to transform us, because we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are called to do His will, and there's going to be a time where we'll be back on the move. And so I want to encourage you. I also want to remind you that if you feel like you're one of those people who has spent all this time filling up with the worry and the woulda, shoulda, couldas and all of that stuff, it's not too late. Maybe you're listening today and you were thought maybe it was too far gone for you, that you're too removed from God. Never. God knows why we travel away from Him, why we do our own thing, why we try to take things in our own hands. But it is never too late. He understands you. He knows why we do what we do, but it never changes His love for us. Never. And so in this moment, if you need to surrender your heart and mind to Him and say, God, change what I have filled up with. Take it away. Take the heaviness, the anxiety, the depression, and replace it with your love and your joy, He will. Just like He grabbed a hold of Paul's life and transformed it. He will grab a hold of our lives and he will triumphantly transform it and make all things new. So as we close, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that maybe one of the things that we all need to do, including myself, is to not beat ourselves up because we don't always have the perfect response to things. I know that some of you are teachers right now and you didn't sign up for that job. Some of you are home alone and you didn't sign up for that either. Some of you have lost your jobs. You're grieving. Some of you had issues and illnesses and things going on before we ever ran into a pandemic. And my encouragement to you is that you take this opportunity and you turn your eyes and your heart to him and you give him it all. That we surrender ourselves to him, that we deepen our faith, that we focus our eyes on the hope of Jesus so we can stand firm and have a response of one that gives praise and glory to him. So as you walk this day, take this moment and tell him how much you appreciate him and you love him, because we can have a response like no one else when we live in the power of Jesus. So I just pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Bless you. I live my life for one thing, pour out my lives in offering.